Well, this is Mental Health Radio. Take it from us, and I'm host Sheldon Brown with technician Declan Curran, and you've just been listening to our theme music from Joe Cocker called Respect Yourself. Now, Take It From Us is brought to you and funded by Ember Wellbeing Trust. And in our promotion pre-show, we said we're going to talk today about having had a decade of wellness, but are we any more well? But before we get onto that subject, I just want to bring you a snippet from Facebook, which says, in order to be happy, you must let go of the story you thought life would be and find joy in the story you are living. Well, that reinforces to me the importance of living in the now, enjoying the moment, enjoying the present, because the present is a gift that is brought to us. Now, as I say, we're going to talk today about the decade of wellness between 2010 and 2020, and whether we are any more well. But I found a very disturbing story today, which I want to comment on and bring to you. I'm reading this from my mobile. Its headline is When Police Turn Up at a Crisis. And I'm just bringing this up on my mobile now. It says, what's it like to have the police turn up in the midst of your mental health crisis? And we have brought to you on Take It From Us interviews with the police. I have had ongoing concerns about the police being at the front line of crisis mental health. I saw it personally when a colleague of mine was in crisis. He lived only 250 metres from a community mental health centre. I rang that centre and they said there was no way that they were going to just walk up the hill, up the road to provide support to my friend. And as I waited, there were two police cars turned up, at least four constables with the full rig, uniform, pepper spray, batons. To me, this was a really disturbing trend. So the story today talks about a woman in Taranaki named Janine Mullen. She said, and the story says, in her hour of need, when she needed help the most, Janine Mullen was put in a police cell twice. The New Plymouth woman had called a support line looking for help, and when the person on the other end of the phone became concerned for her safety, they called the police. And she's quoted as saying, the police came to my house, burst in, took me to the police station and yelled at me, telling me I was wasting their time, which was hard to hear when you're already feeling stupid and scared and all that. They took all my stuff off me and put me in a police cell. Mullen, who has suffered from severe anxiety much of her life, had to wait in the cell until a member of the mental health crisis team could come, which took hours. Rather than feeling supported and cared for, the 30-year-old Mullen says she felt like a criminal. That's the part of it, she says, that's so wrong. Getting all your stuff taken off you and getting checked into their system just as if you've been arrested and then locked in a cell with all kinds of scary things going on in the other cells too. The second time Mullen ended up in a cell was when police responded to a 111 call from a concerned friend of hers. Both police and ambulance showed up on this occasion and she ended up in the back of a police car again. She says the ambulance actually said to me, come with us because it will be much nicer. But because she refused, she was told with police, she was taken with police and put in the cell again until her parents came and got her. Mullen doesn't think officers should be dealing with mental health. She says it's not fair on them either. So the police manager of Mental Health and Community Services and Inspector Rob Sum cannot comment on Mullen's case, but says putting someone undergoing a mental health crisis in a cell is a last resort. But despite him saying that it is a last resort, the New Zealand Police's 2018-19 annual report show officers were called out 24,662 times to people attempting or threatening to take their lives, an average of 67 a day and a 10% increase from the previous year. As part of wider reporting on this issue, police say they have a duty of care to keep people safe. Frontline staff undergo mental health training. This is in terms of the police, and I've certainly heard this when they go through recruiting. And police have refresher e-learning modules available for all staff. Staff also undergo a two-yearly refresher custodial training, which has specific focus on vulnerable people and suicide prevention. But there are other people quoted in this story, not just this woman, Mullen. It says as a teenager, Jazz Thornton attempted suicide 14 times and had many interactions with police. The majority of the time, Jazz Thornton was put in handcuffs, she says, dragged over fences, taken to hospital with officers not wanting anything to do with her. But she does say that she has seen a change, quite a considerable change, over the last few years. Thornton says there is a split between officers who think it is just attention-seeking and those who are caring and concerned. If it wasn't for one particular officer on her last suicide attempt, the Auckland woman may not be here today. And she commends a constable, Mika Campbell, who found her, saved her, and just sat with her, hugging her and crying. This police officer, constable, stayed with Thornton at the hospital long after her shift had ended, but put her number in her phone and told her to contact her whenever she needed. She said, "We need to make sure you're still alive, and when you make it to your 21st birthday, I'm going to come and celebrate the fact that you're still here and fighting." So there's been another woman named Emma Wood, who also comes from Taranaki, who's another who has had both positive and negative experiences with police responding to her mental health struggles. The first time, the officers were the epitome of kindness and compassion. Wood still has the female officer's number in her phone after she came back the next day to check up on her and offer extra support. But the second time, the officers that turned up were not as helpful, and they had the crew of television show Police 10-7 in tow, and Wood says she was also made to feel like a criminal. She still remembers the face of one officer who turned up. "I could kick him," the 24-year-old says through tears. He told her that her parents didn't want her there and to pack her bags and leave, but upon confronting her parents, they said that wasn't the case. So quite a picture of different treatment by the police in their role as crisis mental health officers and supporters. If anybody has any views about the police at the front line of mental health, then we would invite people to call us on 815 8100. That's 09815 8100. You have, of course, until 1:30 today to give us a call and provide any comments on whether you have been visited by police in a crisis and what happened.
And I just want to chuck in there if I can, just wait till a song comes on and give us a call, and then we can talk to you off air just before we go on and talk to you.
Okay, well, I think we'll have a song now. So you've got something special for us today, Declan.
Well, I do. I've managed to get this Spotify running off the computer. So I'm hoping that we are going to... I've had a pre-run, so we should be all right. It's a song by Christina Perry, and it's called Human. And you're with 104.6 Planet FM. This is Take It From Us.
By my tongue, I can stay awake for days if that's what you want. Be a number one. I can fake a smile, I can force a laugh. Dance and play the part if that's what you ask. Give you all I am. I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. But I'm only human, and I bleed. I'm only human. I can turn it on. Be a good machine. I can hold the weight of worlds if that's what you need.
And that was Christina Perry with Human on 104.6 Planet FM. We are Take It From Us. And now it wants to keep going. I'm trying the Spotify system live here. That one there, that's her writing a song reacting to the grind of the music industry and just how it's so full on.
And Declan, you've sourced that from a sort of a category on Spotify called Mental Health Music, and we hope to be bringing you more mental health music in the 2020 year.
And I had a brief moment there with you because they've flicked these microphones around, so I was pushing the wrong ones, trying to get you on.
Yeah, we've got a shortage of microphones in the studio today, so we're just having to pinch hit it a little bit. We started our show with a news report from Stuff this morning with people who have been exposed to the police treatment of them when they are in a mental health crisis, and we would be interested in any listeners' experiences with the police coming to a mental health crisis at their place, or any thoughts about what you feel about the police being at the front line of our mental health support. And I guess in some ways, to me, this is a bit of a barometer of the health of our community and our society, and I don't think it reflects well on New Zealand or on the mental health support services that police are required to be in the front line. And I think if I recall from that story, the number of calls by police to people with mental health experience in crisis is 67 every day on average. So I think it totals about 14,662 calls throughout the year. That seems to me to be a huge diversion away from what the police are supposed to be doing in our community, which to me is more around protection against crime and also investigation into criminal activity. Anyway, an article in the Sydney Morning Herald caught my attention earlier this week, and it was particularly the headline that caught my attention. It said, "We've had a decade of wellness, but are we any more well?" Well, I would imagine people have their own views about that from their own personal experiences. This article took a world view rather than a view just of what's happening in Australia or New Zealand. But it inspired me to research what might be the situation in New Zealand, where wellness is a multi-million dollar industry. And we're all bombarded with adverts for vitamins, natural supplements, exercise regimes, fitness. And the most popular one seems to be today going vegan. Surprisingly, New Zealand isn't one of the healthiest countries in the world. And this is something that I learnt. Bloomberg, which is a news agency, collates data from the United Nations, the World Health Organization and the World Bank. And in last year's report, we only came in at number 15 among the healthiest countries in the world. Of course, in New Zealand, we are dealing with some long-term conditions being a particular challenge, and that's especially with the ageing population. So dementia is one example, and New Zealand expects to the number of people with dementia to rise from 48,000, which was the number in 2011, to about 78,000. That's another 30,000 by 2026.
Yeah, and they're saying here too that obesity is becoming more common, and it's got long-term health and social impacts and serious mental health repercussions. Among New Zealand children as a whole, 10% are obese, but the rate's 30% in Pacific children. That's one of the most important modifiable risk factors for diseases such as heart problems, diabetes, and the lack of fitness generally. And apparently more than half the adult population, and just under a third of children in New Zealand, are classified as either overweight or obese. And the mental health statistics, suicide rates and numbers on antidepressants is actually quite worrying. So let's have a look at the article in the Sydney Morning Herald. It's headlined, "We've had a decade of wellness, but are we more well?"
So it says here, in the 2010s, with a decade, wellbeing moved from the trippy-dippy crystal shop to the mainstream. By 2014, the wellness industry was already three times bigger than the global pharmaceutical industry. Today, it's worth about $4.5 trillion worldwide. There were goops like Gwyneth Paltrow, who let bees sting herself as therapy, which is ill-advised given a woman died from the treatment last year. But even if your average person has subscribed to plenty of wellness trends over the last decade, for better or for worse, we've watched a Tony Robbins spawn a generation of life coaches and motivational speakers who promise us we can do, have, and be exactly as we wish, followed swiftly by a counterculture teaching us the subtle art of not giving a damn and rejecting the mindless positivity of the self-help movement. We've debated whether nut milk is really milk, pondered the point of vitamin tablets, gone gluten-free, shunned sugar, and embraced full fat in both food and with our bodies as well. We've discussed the virtues of journaling and colouring in for our ever increasing stress levels, and had the International Year of Quinoa and donned blue light glasses. We've debated detox cleansers and CBD oil, activated almonds and dopamine fasting. We've killed ourselves at CrossFit, found ourselves at F45 training workouts, and eaten into our house deposit with smashed avocado and avocado toast. We've swapped the paleo steaks for pea protein and the environmental promise of veganism, and we've discovered the life-changing magic of cleaning up for the sake of minimalism before rebelling against it all for the sake of our sanity. Our workplaces and schools have started implementing well-being programs, while wellness tourism and wellness real estate are helping to drive the growth of the sector. Now, the big question is, and this is the thing that captured my imagination, are we any better off, asks this article in the Sydney Morning Herald. Declan has already mentioned the rates of obesity in New Zealand. It says here rising rates of obesity, lifestyle-related disease and mental illness. And I think it's interesting that mental illness and mental health is mentioned in all of this wellness literature. These factors of obesity, lifestyle-related disease and mental illness would indicate that the answer is no to whether we're better off. But a Dr. Sean O'Connor from the University of Sydney says the reality is more complex. And I guess it's always a complex issue. There's not a simple yes or no answer. One argument is that rates of certain illnesses have not increased so much as we have increased our awareness of them. So we're more aware of them, but in fact the illnesses may have remained stable. Another is that the world around us is changing, but we are struggling to keep up, despite more of us being more actively engaged in our well-being than ever before. While we are more aware of our well-being, our environment is geared towards us being increasingly sedentary. At the same time, we are exposed to a greater array of highly processed food, and especially in New Zealand, junk food, that are more convenient, more highly palatable, and more affordable than ever, but I would say to you, far less healthy and nutritious. Added to this, the pace of technological change in our world has accelerated beyond our control, which is creating anxiety. So in all of this discussion about wellness, mental health rears its head quite significantly. This Dr. O'Connor from the University of Sydney adds that while the research, quote, seems to suggest we're not getting any happier, it does indicate we have a greater sense of meaning and are seeking purpose and well-being in our lives. He says he thinks the well-being trend is generally heading in a positive direction. But one of the points that I'd like to make, and which this Dr. O'Connor makes, is that there is a big gap between the rich and the poor, as not everyone has the resources to engage in the multi-trillion dollar well-being industry. Just ask anybody who has to pay to go to the gym or join a fitness program, then you've got to have some disposable income.
I was just going to throw in there that, you know, Kmart, if you go in there and you see some of these little exercise bits and bobs they've got in there, they're actually quite reasonably priced. So if you do want to just do something at home, you don't feel confident about going in public, take a look at Kmart in their sporting area. You'd be quite surprised.
You're sponsoring Kmart?
I wish I was. but no, they've got some really awesome things in there. Same with if you're going into there for anything. So if you're finding a penny pinching hard, but they've got some really good things, even the stretchy things that you might put on and treadmill. Yeah. They've got a step thing you can walk on, but that's where you want to, what you walk on when you're going nowhere fast.
That's right, but getting some exercise.
Yeah.
So I guess the conclusion of this article in the Sydney Morning Herald is that we are on the right track, but it's no wonder it says that we're not all there yet. We're doing our best, says the article. Change starts with awareness, and wellness is a journey, not a destination, so we don't need to get it right away. In fact, we don't need to get it right at all. We just need to keep working to close the gaps, refining and redefining what does and doesn't work for us, and ensure we don't take our pursuit of wellness so seriously that it makes us less well. So that's an article from the Sydney Morning Herald. Headed up, we've had a decade of wellness, but are we any more well? We'll take another music break, and then we've got a bit more research that I've done into health in New Zealand.
You're with Take It From Us on 104.6 Planet FM.
The song I've got for you now, Bonnie Tyler, Total Eclipse of the Heart, going back into the 80s. Beautiful song, lovely singer. You're with Take It From Us once again.
Turn around. Every now and then I get a little bit lonely and you're never coming around.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit tired. Listening to the sound of my tears.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit nervous that the best of all the years have gone by.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit terrified, and then I see the look in your eyes.
depths of the heart.
And, of course, that's Bonnie Tyler, Total Eclipse of the Heart. And for those of you puppies that weren't born that far back, go and check out some of this 80s and 90s music and live what we had. It's beautiful. I love it.
Well, I bought myself a 33 RPM.
They're coming back in
33 PM.
They're coming back in stock now. RPM. Probably get one from Kmart too.
Well, you might see. Yeah. Your promotion of Kmart is endless.
I'm terrible. I go in there to buy one thing that might be, say, $5, and I come out with buddy $200 later, which I shouldn't.
Well, anyway, I've got myself a record turntable, and as I walked out of the warehouse in Royal Oak, there was quite a bit of interest. There was a guy and his wife who were just beside me in the car park as I stacked it into my car, and he took a lot of interest in it and asked me whether I'd bought this turntable. Apparently this is a Return of the Jedi or something.
Yeah, well, it's all coming back in now, and apparently you can get them without having to go to these expensive shops and buy all the Denon sort of all that sort of tannoy stuff.
Well, mine was $160, and I'm hoping that the two speakers I use for my CD player.
I was just going to say, if anybody does want that, an alternative place to go to try and find them is, I don't know about PB Tech, but JCar definitely have them as well.
Right.
So, yeah.
JB Hi-Fi. So we're advertising all the retailers on Take It From Us.
Well, it saves you having to hunt around and find it for yourself. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
Get on that bus.
We're talking today about this headline in the Sydney Morning Herald, which asked, we've had a decade of wellness, but are we any more well? And I guess our wellness is often measured by how long we live. And it says, while New Zealanders overall are living longer, Maori and Pacific people still have lower life expectancy than the population as a whole, and they are often overrepresented in mental health trends, especially Maori. People with an intellectual disability can also expect to live for 18 to 23 fewer years than others. And, of course, that applies to people with mental health issues. People with a serious mental illness or addiction experience, they experience significantly worse physical health than the general population and tend to live 20 to 25 years less than the general population. And there has been a campaign called Equally Well, which has been set up to try and address that inequity. I mean, if it was housewives overall who were living 20 to 25 years less than the general population, I think there'd be an outcry. There'd be a major Royal Commission of Inquiry into why this was happening, why that doesn't happen for those of us with lived experience of mental illness. I really do not know. So, Declan,
I was just saying it'll take the spotlight off Harry and Meghan at the moment anyway if they did something like that. Anyhow, it's interesting to see that the spending is about $18 billion on New Zealand's total health and disability spending. That's about 9.5% of the gross domestic product.
Now, we'll just clarify that the total health and disability spending is about $18
billion. Absolutely. And that covers spending in the public, private and NGO sectors, including ACC expenditure. So as a percentage of GDP, the total's slightly over the OECD average, but it's consistent with most of those OECD countries. New Zealand's unusual in that taxpayers fund most of its health expenditure, which is about 7% of GDP, and health makes up about 22% of government spending. By focusing on preventing illness and making healthy choices easy, we can help people to avoid developing long-term health conditions or to show the development, slow the development of those conditions. Show.
Yes, I mean, that's a wonderful focus to prevent illness and make healthy choices. how many Kiwis are making healthy choices. When I walk back along Key Street from being on the Waiheke Ferry, I get off and I walk past a large number of takeaway outlets, McDonald's, KFC, Pizza Hut, Hell Pizza, and I'm often walking at dinner time to get home. Well, the queues are very noticeable outside those junk food outlets. So I guess convenience, cost, are an attraction, but I don't think there's a lot of nourishment there. I find when I have takeaways that 30 minutes later, I'm still hungry.
And that's maybe funny. Yeah, funny you should say that. But I think I just wanted to throw in there and say, you know, whilst we need to look at our intake of food and so forth like that, I think the other thing that I'd like to throw in there is it's important not to stress yourself and get anxious over, you know, all that sort of thing, because otherwise if you get unwell and that sort of thing. So I guess it's something you've got to bear in mind and try and work towards.
Well, I guess alcohol is a hazardous drinking in New Zealand is getting headlines at the moment, particularly among some of our younger people. You know, drinking, if we become addicted to it, I think very difficult to manage, very difficult to control, and it can certainly ruin our lives. And our propensity for alcohol at just about every occasion, every event, every party, every get-together of Kiwis, every barbecue.
I'm not sure whether this is still the case, but I can remember seeing something back over the last few years that police say that 94% of all their call-outs involve alcohol and or drugs. And I think if they were saying, if you took the alcohol out of the equation, and this is their own words, we'd be sitting in the station playing tiddlywinks all night.
Right. Well, I guess another measure of the health of a nation and the health of its people is how many people use mental health and addiction services. One of the things that I find fascinating is that these statistics for mental health and addiction are very, very out of date. The latest I could find was 2015-16 year, and in that year there were more than 170,000 clients seen by our mental health and addiction services. Of course, another measure of the success of our society and the health of our society is our suicide statistics, and that suggests that we are not an emotionally healthy society. Those statistics are going up by about 10% a year, and the total now is twice the road toll, a total of 685 last year. One of the points that the article in the Sydney Morning Herald raised was that there is an inequality about accessing health and living a healthy life. It says people living in the most deprived areas of New Zealand are 2.7 times more likely to be seen by mental health and addiction services than people living in the least deprived areas. And as I've stated, that's something the Sydney Morning Herald article highlights, that there is a gap between rich and poor in health, and especially in mental health. Now, you covering off this little piece about research and the five day-to-day things we can do which contribute to our well-being, Declan?
Yeah, I was just looking at that last bit you said. People living in the most deprived areas of New Zealand are 2.7 times more likely to be seen by mental health and addiction services than people living in the least deprived areas. Right. We've got least deprived and most deprived.
They're okay, well, the least deprived, of course, are the ones that are have more resources, where the people have more money, where probably they own their own homes and can afford perhaps counselling services, therapy, perhaps private healthcare.
I think also you've got to look at the rural sector. Whilst they're very close-knit, they also, I think, they've got that, in farming particularly, that macho, just get on with it, toughen up type of image. And I think we're seeing, to a degree, some of the expansion into the rural area, and it's much needed because of the number of farmers that are in the suicide statistics apparently is quite high. Mm. So And it comes back to that whole stigma thing. You know, we talk about road crashes all the time, they're on the TV, but suicide is swept under the carpet. And I think until we start to do that,
talk about it.
Yep.
Exactly, the S word.
Yeah, so we've also had the wellbeing budget to improve the wellbeing of New Zealanders, which outlines the government's priorities. The budget 2019 took a transformational approach to mental health, wellbeing and addiction with major new investments that strongly align with the He Ara o Ranga, hopefully I said that right, the inquiry into mental health and addictions. Smoking less but drinking more and hazardous drinking is the more common. New Zealand's top 10 main health concerns are, and interestingly, mental health is listed first. Mental health issues including suicide, cancers, cardiovascular disease, diabetes, musculoskeletal conditions, dementia, injuries and oral health. I've tapped into your area there.
Yeah, I think so. So are we any more well? And we'll answer that question from a personal point of view after our next music break. So you're set to go there, Declan?
I am. I've got one here once again. This goes back into the 70s, actually. Do you remember the group ELO? Yes, I do. Yeah, stood for Electric Light Orchestra. They were quite ahead of their time, I think, when it came to all this sort of stuff. This song is called Telephone Line. We were just talking about Queen then, weren't we? And about the gold coin that was mentioned on TV last night. $4,000 to buy it. It's got the Queen head on one side and...
The Queen's head on one side and Queen on the other.
Yeah, and Adam Lambert's now their lead singer, taking over from Freddie Mercury.
So today on Take It From Us, we raised the issue which was a headline in the Sydney Morning Herald recently, where it said, we've had a decade of wellness, but are we any more well? And I've got a few of my own conclusions about that question. So are we any more well? My conclusion is that New Zealand society is becoming increasingly divided between the haves and the have-nots of health. And that is those who have wellness and those who don't. The Wellness Recovery Action Plan Program, RAP for short, which I became a facilitator of about 6 or 7 years ago, and I learnt so much from becoming a facilitator and giving those classes to people with mental health and addiction. That RAP program actively underlines that our wellness is our own personal responsibility. It's not going to result from a magic pill dispensed by a doctor. We have a choice. 5+ a day fruit and veggies or cheap junk food, which is convenient, tasty and full of nasties. Your choice. Wellness is down to each of us. It's chips or chickpeas. And I guess if you put it that way, the chips are always going to be the most attractive. Oh. And I was sitting at a restaurant on Onitangi Beach with a mate of mine who I went to school with about 50 years ago or longer. And we were having a beer and he ordered some chips and they took a while to come. And I thought, well, I'm going to resist these. But, of course, as soon as they're on the table, I've got stuck into them just the same as he did.
I would say chickpeas are about as appealing as what... And most people don't like Brussels sprouts. I don't either. They taste like dirt. But anyway.
Oh, well, I'm a great fan of Brussels sprouts. Oh. Maybe I'm lucky that...
You're on your own there.
Yeah, no, I'm lucky, I think, that I do enjoy vegetables. And I've been tucking into veggies. I'm growing some silver beets and tomatoes, but the silver beet has just flourished, and it's silver beet just about every night, so that I use it up.
Go for the cabbage instead of Brussels sprouts. It's much nicer.
Right. Well, anyway, silver beet is good, I think. But I'd say that, you know, the trend towards junk food and convenience food, packaged food in the supermarket, frozen instant meals, all of that sort of thing is the path to obesity, diabetes and minimal fitness and a possible mental health vulnerability where stress, depression and anxiety emerge. So my conclusion is that it's all down to each one of us. In other words, our own personal responsibility, how we live and how we want to improve our wellness. So as the Sydney Morning Herald said, it's a very complex issue as to whether all this wellness campaigning and promotion is helping us I know when I move around, I tend to see people who are very obese, and I think to myself, they will be quite restricted in the way that they might undergo walking or undertaking any fitness or even playing with their children or their grandchildren. And, you know, I do pride myself in being able to take my grandson out, go bike riding with him around Te Aritu where he lives, and still play tennis. And they're things that give me a great incentive to try and stay well, to stay well all the time. So that's our cover on the whole issue of wellness. If you're looking for tips about wellness, look up the Wellness Recovery Action Plan. I'm still waiting to see whether Ember is going to embark on classes for RAP in this next quarter, and I can certainly let you know, but all I can endorse is that the RAP class, the Wellness Recovery Action Plan, has meant a great deal to me in understanding that it is my personal responsibility when it comes to my wellness and my mental health. So, Declan, what
You're
have you got?
You're with Take It From Us on 104.6 Planet FM.
That's the first thing. I was going to say, hey, when I go out on the scooter and I travel sort of like 10 Ks, does that count as well?
I don't think so, because I don't think you're actually doing anything.
Well, I'm not, but I'm still travelling, so I use that as my excuse.
Oh, well, you're getting a bit of vitamin D from the sunshine and a bit of fresh air and that sort of thing. But, yeah, I mean, it's a very valid point that as I walk down to the ferry building, people come rushing past me on these scooters, and I think to myself, well, are they getting much exercise? Is it helping their fitness? Is it helping their well-being? Is it perhaps using up some calories?
Yeah, I think so. When you're out and about, that sort of thing, I've got one of those little watch things that you can wear and connects, and it's quite interesting actually, because it counts your steps, but I must try it when I next go out and see whether it thinks I'm travelling on the scooter.
Right.
Anyway, I've got a dedication for you which we can squeeze in. And you're a big Joe Cocker and fan, and Jennifer Warnes is on this one as well, so that gives it all away. The song is Up Where We Belong, and you're with Take It From Us, Mental Health Radio.
There are mountains in our way. every day.
Don't say I don't look after you.
Hey, well, that wonderful Joe Cocker and
Jennifer Warnes.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah, it's going back to the 80s
beautiful
as well.
Juliet.
Beautiful, yeah.
Places where you can get help in terms of mental health crisis. We opened our show with the whole issue of police attending mental health crises and some personal experiences from people interviewed by the media staff. But Lifeline is open 24/7 on 0800 543 354. The Depression Helpline also open 24/7 on 0800 111 757. Healthline also 24/7, 0800 611 116. There's also the Samaritans on 0800 726 666. The Suicide Crisis Helpline, which is 0508 Tautoko, which is 828 865. Quite a breadth of support telephone support lines, and the others, of course, are Youthline, 0800 WhatsApp, which is a children's helpline. We've got Kids Line, also open 24/7, and Declan mentioned the rural suicide rates, which have been addressed, but there is a rural support trust on 0800 787 254.
I wonder how much, being in a smaller community, whether they all sort of can sort of come together and give that extra support that you don't get in the bigger city. I don't know. But anyway, we'll see you again next week, won't we?
Looking forward to that.
Catch you later. Have a good week.